First of all, the Shiur is generously sponsored Lenuni Shmat Rosa Bat Chiduri and the Fruash Lema Sara Bat Aziza Toch Shar Chole Israel. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam Shehakol Niyah B'Dvaro.
Amen.
Fasten your seatbelts. We're about to go on a beautiful and enjoyable ride through the parasha of Parashat Vayera. So the parasha begins, parasha opens, Vayera alav Hashem be'elolei Mamre, and Hashem appears to Avraham in Elolei Mamre on the property of Mamre. V'yoshev petach ha'oel kechom hayom. Where was Avraham? He was standing, petach ha'oel, he was standing by the entrance of the tent, kechom hayom, in the heat of the day. Very interesting to note, it says Vayera alav Hashem, Hashem appears to him. As far as I know, I'm not an expert, and I don't know all of Tanakh by heart, but I can't remember another place where Hashem appears to someone and then doesn't say a word. That's what happens over here. Vayera alav Hashem. Hashem appears to Avraham. Does not say a word. Usually he goes, he says something, hi, how are you? Gives him orders, do this, don't do that. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just comes, just shows up. What's going on over here? So Rashi addresses this right away. And Rashi quotes the Gemara that this was the third day after Avraham Avinu was circumcised himself. He received the Brit Milah, the third and the most painful day after the Milah. And he was sick, he was a chole. So Hashem came to be mevaker the chole. Hashem came to visit the sick person. He teaches us a big lesson that sometimes, you know, just by being there, without even saying a word, just by keeping someone company, that's all you need to do. That means the world to another person. Your company is useful enough, you don't even need to open your mouth. That's a mitzvah of achnasat orchim, showing him that you care. That's what we see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu visiting Avraham, not even speaking, not even telling him anything. Okay, the pasuk continues to say, Avraham was sitting outside in the tent. Why? Why was he sitting outside the tent? So famous Rashi tells us, he was sitting outside, lirot im yesh over v'shav v'yachnisem v'veto. He wanted to see if what? Are there any people passing by, going back and forth? So he could bring them into his home, he could host them. Avraham Avinu was a isha chesed, he was a man of kindness, he loved, he specialized in the mitzvah v'achnasat orchim, and despite the fact that he wasn't well, he went outside, stood by his end, by the entrance to his tent, waiting for people to pass by. Pasuk continues to give us a weather report. Unbelievable. Pasuk tells us, kechom hayom. It was a very, very hot day. You know, 98 degrees, 85% humidity, right? 98 Fahrenheit, but probably what's 98, what's Celsius? I know a lot of internationals here, huh? 45 Celsius, huh? Okay, machloket between the Latinos and the French. Yeah, so anyways, so whatever it was a very, very hot day, very humid. Okay, the pasuk gives us a very nice, beautiful weather report. What's pshat? What's going on over here? Why is the pasuk telling us what the weather was like? So Rashi tells us right away, famous Rashi, kechom hayom, like the heat of the day, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Minartika. Hashem took the sun out of its casing. The sun has a casing, it has a covering that makes the sun bearable. It makes it that we're able to survive in this world despite the intense heat of the sun. So what did Hashem do? Hashem took the sun out of its casing. He removed the covering. And what happens when you remove the covering of the sun? It makes it too hot. Unbearably hot. So what was Hashem intending to do by doing that? To make sure that no people would pass by. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Avraham to trouble himself, to stand outside and to go and find guests to bring them in. Hashem said, no, you need to rest right now. You need to rest, you need to recover. And therefore Hashem made it extremely hot, so no one should pass by. Okay? That's what Rashi says. Unbelievable. So then, why did guests come at the end? If Hashem made the sun come out of its lair, so it should be too hot, so that guests shouldn't come. But the next words in the pasuk say what? Vehineh what? Shelosha anashim. And here come three men. What happened? What changed? So Rashi himself tells us, this is why it's so important to learn Chumash and Rashi. Rashi says, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, Avraham Avinu was so sad, he was so devastated, guests are not coming, I'm so sad, I want to host people, I want to do chesed, I want to be kind to people, Hachnasat Ruchim. Hashem saw in Avraham's pain, and Hashem said, you know what, fine. Hashem sent the angels to come in the form of human beings. Just so that what? Avraham Avinu should have guests. A few questions that are very puzzling to me. Can you open the window a little bit? Is that okay? A little puzzling. First of all, what in the world is Avraham Avinu doing standing outside on the third day of his milah? Come on. Every doctor in the world will tell you what? Relax. Lie down. Be bed rest, recover, shouldn't be active. What's he doing? He's patur from mitzvot. You're exempt, you're patur. Stay home. Number two. It says that Hashem felt bad for him. Hashem didn't want him to work hard. So what did Hashem do? He took the sun out of its casing, out of its layer, out of its the outside layer, out of the shell. Okay? Hashem changed nature. He altered nature to make it very hot, so that what? So that guests should not come. Why all of that? Just make it that what? Guests won't come. Hashem, if you have the ability to take nature and flip it upside down, then you also have the ability to make sure that what?
People stay home.
People won't come. Why does Hashem have to make jumping jacks and back flips and somersaults just to make it that guests won't come? Why? For what reason? Question number two. Question number three. Then Hashem saw Avraham Avinu was very sad. He was devastated that he wasn't able to do Achnasat Orchim. So Hashem said, "You know what? I feel for you. It's like a little child who's nagging the parent. I want that candy. I want that candy. I want that candy at the store, at the supermarket. I want the lollipop. I want the lollipop." So after a while, the father's like, "Okay, just shut up already. I'll give you the lollipop." That's what it looks like over here. Hashem says, what? All right, fine. I see. You're in a lot of pain. You really, really, really want guests? Fine. I'll give you the... What is this, a game over here? What's going on? What is this? Looks like child play. So to answer these questions, we need to see where else this concept of Hashem taking the sun out of its casing, where else does it appear? Where else does that appear? Anyone. I'm opening the floor. Where else do you find that Hashem takes the sun out of its casing? What do you mean, Sukkot?
It makes it very hot for the body.
Hashem makes it very, very good. Excellent. Beautiful. What else?
It needs to be exactly the sun.
What?
Exactly the sun.
The sun. So let's take a tour through Shas. Not that I know Shas, but it comes up in two other places in Shas. Number one, the Gemara Nedarim tells us, very cryptic Gemara tells us, Gemara tells us, en gehenom latid lavo. Right? You learned this. Why didn't you raise your hand? En gehenom latid lavo. There is no gehenom in the future. Latid lavo, there's not going to be any gehenom.
In the world to come.
So what's going to happen? Ela, continues the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama min artika. Hashem takes the sun out of its casing. Tzadikim mitrapin ba, and the tzadikim will be healed by the sun. Urshaim nidonin ba, and the rishaim are going to be punished by that sun, the same sun. It's a very interesting thing that the same sun will be accomplishing two different things with two different people. It will be healing the tzadikim and punishing the Rishayim. Very interesting. Okay, keep that in the back of your head. Where else? The other place is what Chacham Ariel quoted, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah famously says, goes through this whole passage of how Latid Lavo, in the future, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be judgment day for all the nations. And Hashem is going to say to all the nations, that's it, you're on trial now. You guys messed up big time, and you're going to have to pay for it. and the nations are pleading with God, no, it's not fair, you favored the Jews, you didn't favor us, da 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 da. Hashem has a response for every single claim that they make. But then, at the end of all their claims, they say one thing. The nations say, but give us one more chance. So Hashem says, fine, I'll give you one more chance. I'll give you one more chance, says the Gemara. Hashem says, I have one very easy mitzvah for you to do. Very, very easy one. And the mitzvah is called Sukkah. Go and build for yourself a Sukkah, and let's see, this is your last chance. Okay? Let's see what happens. So says the Gemara, I'm combining it with a Midrash Tanhuma that has a slightly different text to it. So I'm reading to you the Midrash from the Midrash Tanhuma and Parshat Shoftim. It says, Omrim lefanav ribono shel olam tena lanu merosh v'na'asena. The nations say, give us, let's press the restart button. Give us another shot. Amar lehem. Hashem says to them, mitzvah kala ani noten lachem. I'm giving you a very easy mitzvah. Im atem mishamrim ota. Okay. Eten lachem schar ki Yisrael. If you keep this mitzvah, I'm going to reward you just like I rewarded the Jewish nation. Amar lehem, lechu ve'asu sukkah. Go and make for yourself a sukkah. Continues the midrash. Miyad kol echad ve'echad olech ve'aseh sukkah. Right away, each and every single person goes and makes for themselves a sukkah. Says the midrash. V'akadosh baruch hu motzi chama min artika. Then Hashem takes the sun out of its casing. Okay. Ve'chol echad meva'et besukkato ve'yotzeh. And every single goy runs out of the sukkah and kicks it on the way out. That's what Midrash says. The Gemara of Dazar has a slightly different girsah. It doesn't say that it took the sun out of its casing. It says it was during the hottest month of the year, Tukufat Tammuz, and Hashem made it very, very hot, and then the rest is the same. But anyways, you see over here that the Midrash says that Hashem will take the sun out of its casing. And the Gemara of Dazar actually recounts this same story and follows up with a very obvious question. But the question is what? Why is it their fault? Why is it their fault? The Gemara says, we know that by sukkah there's a halacha that says what? Mitzta'er patur mina sukkah. If it's raining outside, if it's too hot, if it's too cold, if it's unbearable in the sukkah, the halacha is you're patur. You're not obligated to stay in the sukkah anymore. So what did they do wrong? Asks the Gemara. Amazing question. But the Gemara itself answers. Says, okay, I understand that you're patur min asukah. Nehi de patur. I understand that you're patur. But, be'uti mi mevati, why are you kicking it on the way out? That was their wrongdoing. Meaning it was okay, they were okay. Up until the part that they kicked the sukkah, they were good. It's okay for them to leave the sukkah. But what? Once they kicked it, they showed, hey, we're pretty happy that we don't have to do this mitzvah, this annoying mitzvah. Comes out that the true test for the goyim was not whether or not they would build a sukkah and stay inside of the sukkah. That was not the test. What was the test? The test was when Hashem made it impossible for them to fulfill the mitzvah to the point that they were patur, mitzta'er, patur min asukkah. So the test was what? How would they react to that? Would they feel bad? Would they wish, no, we still wish we could fulfill the mitzvah? Would they beg Hashem for an opportunity, for another opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah? Is that what they were going to do? Or would they feel relieved? They feel, thank God, we don't got to do this. So what happened was they failed the test. As they walked out of the sukkah, what do? They kicked it. They said, what good is this anyways? They said, thank God we don't have to do it. We're so happy. They're rejoicing. They're jumping for joy. Baruch Hashem. We see from here that the difference between a Jew and a Goy is that we can both be doing the same action, but a Jew is doing it out of love. And if the opportunity goes away, if for some reason he's not able to do it, he tries to figure out other ways to do the mitzvah. He tries to figure it out. And if he reaches a dead end and there's no possibility, it's impossible for him to fulfill the mitzvah, feels bad about it. Feels like he's missing out. A Rashan, on the other hand, the first way out that he that comes his way, he grabs it and he rejoices. That's the ultimate test. Avraham Avinu represented chesed, represented ahava. Ahava means love. That means he specialized in serving Hashem out of love. He was lovesick for Hashem. He was willing to do anything to please Hashem. That was Avraham Avinu. He was willing to do anything to increase the honor and the glory of Hashem in the world. Just because he was sick, you think that's going to hold him back from going outside and doing Rachnasat Orchim? Yeah, right. That's not going to hold him back. Avraham Avinu said, this is nothing. No way. He didn't even hesitate from going out trying to do the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. But you know what? That wasn't even the test. That wasn't even Avraham Avinu's test. What was his test? Hashem wanted to see how Avraham, the ultimate lover of Hashem, how would he react if the ability to do the mitzvah was taken away from him? How would he react if guests would not show up? Hashem wanted to see his reaction. Would he rejoice? Would he be like, oh well, guests are not coming, it's extremely hot today, 45 Celsius, I'm going to stay home? Or would he stand outside and start crying? Start saying, Hashem, I love you. I want to do what's best for you. I want to do your will. I want to do the mitzvah, Hachnasat Orchim. I want to do everything I can. It's not fair that it's too hot and guests are not coming. It's not fair. I want to honor you more and more and more and more and more. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to determine whether Avraham really loves him, the ultimate test of Hashem's love was what? Was to change nature, to dafka, undo nature, take the sun out of its casing. The same way what? Hashem tested who? The goyim, by sukkah. The same way Hashem did that, by the goyim. It was all for the same purpose. The ultimate test. Are you serving God out of love? Or are you serving God because you have to? That's the ultimate test to see where your desire truly is. Avraham Avinu was devastated. He couldn't tolerate not doing it. So Hashem said, you know what? You passed the test. I'll give you the mitzvah now. Unbelievable. And that also explains that's why one mitzvah, one single mitzvah, where two people could be doing the mitzvah, but one person could be doing it out of love, and one person could be doing it not out of love. And when the ability is taken away, that's when you see the difference between them. It was the same action. And that's similar to the Gemara in Nedarim, where it says, "En genom latid lavo." There's no genom. Rather, what happens? Hashem takes the sun out of its casing, and that's what reveals who the tzaddikim are and who the reshaim are. Because the tzaddikim are going to shine when the sun comes out of its casing. Because that's a symbol that they passed the test. They passed the test of serving God out of love. But the reshaim, it's going to reveal that they're all phonies. They weren't doing it out of love. And that the second the ability was taken away from them, they were rejoicing, they were happy. It's a beautiful Sfat Emet. This week's parasha tells us that Avraham Avinu, Hashem appeared to Avraham be'elone Mamre, on the property of Mamre. Who is Mamre? So there are three people named Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Those are three individuals. They were among the most important individuals of the time. And Avraham Avinu, before going to get his Brit Milah, going to sign this treaty between him and God, this everlasting treaty, he went to go and ask advice of those three mentors of his. And he asked them, should I do it? Should I not do it? Aner and Eshkol both told him, Dad, don't do it. How'd you do it? Ah, come on. How'd you do that to yourself? Mamre said, what? Do it. Why? The same God that saved you from the furnace of fire is now telling you to get circumcised? Why wouldn't you do it? So Sfat Emet asks a question. And because of that, Rashi points out, because of that, Hashem appeared to Abraham specifically on Mamre's property as a reward that he's the one who gave Abraham Avinu advice to get circumcised and to do the treaty, the brit between him and Hashem. Asks the Sfat Emetz an amazing question. Big deal, he gave him advice to do it. What did he have to lose on the deal? He wasn't getting circumcised himself. Abraham said, should I do it, should I not do it? He said, yeah, whatever, go do it. Well, what do I care? Go do it. What did he lose? How did he lose out by it? Why was it a sacrifice for him to tell him Avraham Avinu to get circumcised? Explains the Sfat Emetz, it was a big sacrifice. Because Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, they all understood that if Avraham Avinu goes through with this, he's disconnecting himself from all the other nations. And he's signing this treaty between him and Hashem that will never be broken and that will bind Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation, with Hashem, and at the same time disconnect them from all the other nations. So they knew, Aner, Eshkol, Mamre knew that if he would go through with this Brit Milah, they're done. There's no more relationship between Avraham Avinu and them. Aner and Eshkol didn't want that. They said, nah, don't get the Brit Milah. Don't do it. They still wanted that relationship with him. Mamre, although he did want that relationship, but he said, listen, it's not about me. If God's telling you to do it, and this will increase Kvod Shamayim, it's not about me. It's about God. I'm not going to be selfish. Yes, I am losing out. My interest is what? That you should not do it. I want to keep this relationship with you. I want to keep that Kavod, that honor, having connections with Avraham Avinu. However, God is telling you to do this. You have an opportunity to honor God in a greater way, you got to do it. You got to do it. And that's why he was rewarded with even more kavod. Because he gave up on his own kavod. Only for who? For Hashem's kavod. For Hashem's honor. That's someone who is serving God out of love. There's a famous story with Rezusha from Anipali. An amazing story. That he said to his students, that if God would come to me and ask if I want to swap places with Moshe Rabbeinu, should I do it or not? And he asked the students, you know, what do you think? Everyone said, yeah, for sure. What do you mean? Of course. For you to be Moshe Rabbeinu to be you, take it. Well, it's an amazing deal. He said, no. Because at the end of the day, even if we swap, there's still going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's still going to be a Rezusha Anipali. Who cares if I'm the one getting more Olam Haba and Moshe Rabbeinu is getting the one who's getting less or the opposite? Who cares? Who cares about that? The point is that God's glory, God's honor is going to be elevated because both of us are in the world. Who cares who is who? Tzadikim don't care about themselves. They don't care about reward. They don't care about Olam Haba. All they care about is the honor of Hashem. It's the honor of God. When the opportunity comes to do a mitzvah, you jump on it. Not because it's enjoyable, not because it's fun, not because you're going to get reward for it, because God wants it, because God's glory, God's honor is elevated by it. And when the opportunity goes away, you don't just say, okay, well, oh well, I can't do it. No! You find a way to do it. And if that opportunity goes away, you find another way to do it. And another way, another way. You don't give up. There's a famous story. It was his yard site just last week. My former Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the former Rosh Hashiva of the Mir in Yerushalayim. Legendary Rosh Hashiva. So we all know that he grew up in a modern Orthodox home in Chicago. He didn't grow up in the Me'a Shearim. He didn't grow up in Shechunat Beit Yisrael in Yerushalayim. Okay, he grew up in Chicago. He went to Ida Crown, the high school that we all know. Okay, after high school, I think he even skipped 12th grade and went to Israel. I'm not sure exactly, but he went there because his uncle was the current Rosh Hashiva of the Mir. Okay, so he went there to study with his uncle. He stayed there for a half a year or something like that. I might be, saying the story wrong. My apologies. When he was about to leave, so his uncle said, no, you're not going back home. I said, what do you mean? I am going back home. Said, no, you're not going back home. My parents want me to come back home. I got to start college and get a life and start life. So he said, you're not going back home. He packed his bags and he got on the cab. And his uncle, the Rosh Hashiva, went and lied down on the street in front of the cab. He said, you're not going. And he didn't end up going. And he became the next Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. and he rebuilt that entire area. And the 6,000 people that are learning there as we speak are all, it's all in credit to him, Rosh Tzvi Finkel. All because what? His uncle, the Rosh Shiva, didn't just give up. He could have very easily said, listen, halachically speaking, I'm patur from convincing him to stay in Israel because what? Because his parents, kibud avim, his parents want him to go back home. College, he needs to get an education, he needs to get a job, and he needs to, could have justified from today till tomorrow, and that would have been okay. And on paper, X's and O's, right? On paper, if you crunch the numbers together, he was in the clear. Totally fine. But it wasn't about numbers. It wasn't about his own honor, mitzvot, averot, schar, onesh, reward, punishment. It wasn't about that. It was about elevating the honor of Hashem in the world. And for that, he needed to do what he did. I heard this story in the name of Rav Manas Friedman, who said the story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Unbelievable story. And I'll end with this. So, the Rebbe was 4 or 5 years old in Russia. It was a very hot summer day. I don't know how hot the summer gets in Russia, but I guess relatively speaking, a hot summer day. Okay? And he was outside, and he was wearing his kapotel. What's it called? The hat. The right? No, 4 years old, he wasn't wearing a strimal. He was wearing his you know, the little hat that the little boys used to wear. And there was this Jew that went off the derech. He was one of the maskilim. He was a very, you know, unaffiliated Jew that was not only wasn't religious, but he was also anti. And he passed by, and he said to the Rebbe, he wasn't a Rebbe yet, he was 4 years old, he said to him, hey, listen, take it off. It's very hot outside. Take it off. And he said, no. Just because it's hot outside doesn't mean I should take it off. I'm not taking it off. Hashem wants me to keep my kippah on. So the other Jew said to him, listen, take it off. You're scared you're going to get punished? I'll take your Gehenna for it. I'll take the punishment. It's on me. Just take it off. It's hard for me to see you, you know, sweating with a kippah on such a hot summer day. Without a beat, the Rebbe responded, who cares whose Gehenna it is? Who cares who's punished, who's getting punished, who's not getting punished? If God's honor is being diminished by me not wearing a kippah, it's the wrong thing to do. I don't care if I'm not the one getting punished. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about Hashem, not about me. Unbelievable. For a four-year-old to say something like that. That's how we have to live. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing every single day? We're going through the motions. We're all religious. We're all observant Jews. We all do mitzvot. We all learn Torah. Why? Is it for us or is it for him? We see from Avraham Avinu that the ultimate test to know if we're doing it for us or if we're doing it for him is what happens when you're not able to do it. Are you jumping for joy? That means that all along you were just doing it for you, not for him. Are you sad? Are you trying to find a way to do it despite the difficulties? That means that you're doing it for him. Hashem should give us all a bracha. Without Hashem, we should constantly be motivated to do God's will and to always do things that elevate, that bring out Kvod Shamayim, bring out Hashem's honor and glory in the world. Nice. Have an amazing night. Thank you.